You are listening to the Leukomania Pop Culture Podcast. CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Leukomania, and this is our special bonus episode for this month. Like last month, we'll be talking about a wrestling-related thing, and we're talking about SummerSlam, the aftermath of that show, and of course, some other recent news items in the wrestling world. And I am joined by a very by a panel full of superstars. They all got the it factor, as they say, in wrestling terms. First, we have from Long Island, New York, Mr. Antonio Cuneo.
Oh my God, Kevin Nash! What the fuck? Thought he was dead. LOL.
And then from Massachusetts somewhere, Brian Bissett.
Hello.
And, yeah, somewhere in that state.
And of course, it's from parts unknown, we have Ryan Holiday.
The Pikeville Walmart that Kevin Nash references is about an hour from my house. The Huddle House, or Waffle House.
Oh, man. So, a lot of people had predictions about how the CM Punk story was going to go when SummerSlam hits, and it really went in a direction that was kind of off the rails. I mean, I did not expect, you know, Big Daddy Cool to make a comeback and cost Punk the title at the end.
I joked around about that. I feel like it's partly my fault.
It is your fault.
It probably is. I swear to God, I was talking to my friend Jason while we were watching the pay-per-view during the main event match, and I said, watch, Kevin Nash is going to come out and win the title. I swear,
close.
And then Kevin Nash showed up, and I shit my pants.
No, I think what cracked me up about Kevin Nash's appearance was, like, you know, you kind of saw him coming, like the camera angle they were in. You saw him coming, then they pulled away right when he was about to hop over the guardrail. Yeah. And part of me was thinking, oh God, did Nash just pull his quad again?
You never know with Kevin Nash. just to say about the finish of the match, I thought they did a good job with, you know, I didn't want Punk to job, but on the other hand, they did it in an okay way, because you couldn't have Punk over Cena three times in a row, because this has been the third match in a row he's beaten him in. And as much as I know people dislike Cena, you can't, he's their moneymaker. So I thought it was a good way to protect both of them by having that kind of, you know, fucked finish, and then have, you know, Punk win, but then Nash come in and have him cost Punk the belt that way. So again, it got to Del Rio. So I thought the way they did it was pretty inventive. It wasn't a terrible, you know, booking.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it could have been much worse. They could have had Cena just, you know, beat him cleanly, which I was worried, and then have Del Rio cash in Money in the Bank, and that would have been stupid. So they protected Punk, which I was really happy about. That was, you know, a big thing.
Ryan, what did you think?
Well, nobody saw it coming. Nobody expected Kevin Nash to come out of the crowd. So they've got everybody talking again. So they give up for that.
Yeah, you gotta give him credit for that, because now you're like, what does Kevin Nash have to do with anything? Of course, the next night on Raw, when he was making his explanation, I thought it was funny. Like, hey, dude, I'll hook you up for free tickets. Can you just powerbomb whoever wins?
I thought it was pretty stupid, but for different reasons. But I guess we'll get to that.
The SummerSlam show itself actually was not too bad. The Orton Christian match was pretty damn good.
Yeah, they have yet to have a bad match, I think. Like,
yeah, I was disappointed to see Christian lose.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they could have had they could have given him a good run as champion for more than a month and have him actually earn being a, you know, I mean, they could have gone in a way where he could beat Orton that match and keep beating him again and again and just to kind of make them even. I mean, they're all into that even style booking anyway.
It's so weird, though. They want to protect Orton so bad, he needs no protection. They actually protect Orton, I think, more than they do Cena. They're, like, so paranoid to let anyone beat Orton, like, in any way. And it's just, like, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. I mean, I can take or leave Orton. I don't blame – I know he's over, but I just don't understand their, like, thing where they have to have him, like always superior to everyone. And I'm just like, you know, it actually bugs me more than the Cena thing now. Because Cena can cut good promos, and, you know the women and children like him. Where Orton is just, like, he's there, and he's kind of the guy of SmackDown. But there's no reason he needs to be, you know, beat Christian 5 months in a row, wherever the hell he did.
I agree. Yeah. I felt like, even going back to the Orton-Punk thing, mm-hmm. it was like Punk was losing to Orton clean every single time. There was, like, no point to it.
Even, I think that's why Punk
And they never gave him even booking. There's no even booking with Orton. And to have Christian lose the title, especially when Edge came out, mm-hmm. Which, you know, was another thing that I call bullshit on, because what was Edge's nickname throughout his fucking,
the
tail end of the... Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what Christian did. Christian became the ultimate opportunist when he put in the lawyers, the no DQ title change in the contract. He was just using opportunity to his advantage, which is exactly what Edge did. But since Edge kind of, you know, he got injured and he left, and now, you know, WWE doesn't follow continuity. I mean, Punk was the one for the Orton feud that pulled out the, remember when Orton punted me in the head and cost me the title?
Yeah.
This is the reason why we're going to feud now. WWE didn't even know about that. Punk pulled it out. Punk told them. So, like, you know, like, I thought the whole, after the whole Edge speech, which I thought was BS, I thought they would still have Christian win just because.
Yeah, they could have built him up and turned him into an actual, you know, top-level heel, you know? But now he's, you know...
No, they got big Mark Henry instead now, setting up for, like, God forbid.
Well, to be honest, though, Mark Henry has been built up really well.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly think that Mark Henry has been built up as good, if not better, than CM Punk in the last couple months.
Yeah, they've really done, since he turned heel, they've been consistently building him as, like, a monster. And, you know, people can, like, I joke about Mark Henry, but, I mean, he's been there a long time. And, you know, I think this is his last kind of big, you know, big push, I think, before he retires. So I think, you know, hey, he's always been I've heard he's a nice guy, and he's always, you know, done whatever they wanted. He's done some really bad angles over the years for you long-time viewers. So, I mean... Yeah, more. I mean, I don't think they're. I don't know if they're going to give him the belt, but well, at least he'll.
I hope they give him the belt. He deserves it.
He's paid his dues if anybody has.
Yeah,
he really did. Of course, you know they could go all kinds of directions, and maybe he could turn him back into sexual chocolate, but he'll be like some kind of predator. You know, he's a predatory sexual chocolate, dark chocolate. They call him dark chocolate now. He's evil.
I can see that drawing big money.
Oh yeah.
His match with Sheamus at SummerSlam was great.
Yeah, they actually had a really good match.
I'm glad that they didn't job Sheamus and he lost by a countout, because I think they're slowly building Sheamus back up as well.
Yeah, he's getting over as a face, which I don't know why I didn't think he would ever work as a baby face, but he does, and it's weird. It's just like I he has that, like, heel look to him, but apparently I was wrong. So.
There's a lot to like about him. He can be very funny, fella.
Yeah,
you know? you see him. You see all the signs, the Lucky Charm signs, and all that stuff that people have for him. You know, they like him. He has such a distinct look. You know, he doesn't look like anyone else.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, do you think there's rules about his tan? Like, he can't.
You are not allowed to tan.
You can't tan. You can't mess with your hair.
Or long sleeves.
Well, it's like the people, the actors who play vampires on True Blood. They're like, you can't get tans. You need to be pale.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? He's getting over that way, and good luck to him, man. I want to see that guy kind of go back to the top, because I thought he didn't. they didn't really use his full potential when he was champion, and then they ruined him when he turned king. Even though I thought he looked cool with that crown, though. But you know, but that's me.
Well, his first run as champion was against Cena.
Yeah, Cena still never has got a win over him yet. You know, they never have played that up, but Cena's never beaten him
But I mean, someone will have to remind them that later on.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they even remember that. But they made such a big deal that he beat Cena in, like, twice. I know the next up the second time, but Cena never got his win back over him. So I'm like, so Cena never actually beat him. They could always say that, but they won't remember that ever. So
probably not. The one thing I did want to say about the Sheamus Mark Henry match from SummerSlam was that's how you do a count out finish. You don't do some bullshit count-out finish like they did at WrestleMania, especially for the main event.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how you establish Mark Henry as a force, as a monster. He didn't have to pin him. He just destroyed him outside the ring, rolled back inside, and left and won. And that was it. And that was more of a powerful statement than if he actually picked up Sheamus, threw him in the ring, and pinned him.
Mm-hmm. Very
well done.
Did you see the Battle Royal on SmackDown last Friday?
No.
The one that he wanted to become the contender?
No.
That was really good.
I heard he was dominant. I heard he threw out like a bunch of people.
Yeah, he threw out a lot of people. Like it started out, you know those spots like that you see. Like okay, remember that scene in the second Matrix movie where everyone was jumping Neo, and then like he does this thing and he bounces everyone off of him. They did that spot on Henry. Like everyone in the battle royal jumped him, and then he just did this Superman thing. Like
that's awesome.
And everyone just bounces off. And then like and when he got taken outside of the ring by one of the Usos. Like, he wasn't eliminated, but then he just manhandled. The Usos are big guys. He manhandled one of them and just tossed him right into the announce table, pretty much almost destroying the table. I was like, wow. That looked painful. And then it was such a violent crash, too, so it looked really painful. And, of course, who can forget the sound guy that he screwed up a few months ago?
Oh, the sound guy he just picked up and chucked across the room?
The thing about Mark Henry, I have to say, though, is cool is that, you know, he's strong and, you know, is huge, but he's always safe. Like, I don't know how familiar you guys are with that guy Hernandez in TNA, but he does the same kind of gimmick, but he injures guys all the time. So, I mean, Mark Henry's always been, you know, safe, and you can, you know, he's a safe worker, and I always think that's, like, you know, something to pride yourself on. So he's been there so long, I think that's a cool thing that he's safe enough with the guys, even though he's huge. So,
yeah.
That's a good point.
And, okay, with SummerSlam, though, let's kind of go back to the main angle on SummerSlam. Of course, the Kevin Nash run-in. That was addressed on Raw the next night, which I happened to have attended. That was a fun Raw to be in. It is funny, though, that there's a lot of the crowd there was really pro-Cena, which I thought was strange. And there's a lot of punk people, too. Like, you see a lot of people, like, with punk shirts that they just bought there, like, you know, the Best in the World shirt.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton of people who showed up in Cena shirts, and like I'm surprised, like these, how, like, how, where did all these grown men come from with their Cena shirts? Like,
sorry.
The people who were sitting behind me were all like big, you know, they're all chanting CM stuff. So I'm like, and like I turned up and look at them, and I kind of glanced at them, like, shut the fuck up.
It's really eerie though how they managed to really encapsulate. I don't think I've ever seen this where the two top baby faces, because, you know, Punk's pretty much a baby face now, is that they have, you know, Punk for the, you know, smart people who don't like WWE right now, and he's sort of saying what everyone else is thinking, and then they still have Cena that people love for, like, the, you know, everyone else used to. So it's really split, like, 50-50 to, like, the point almost kind of like back in the day of, you know, Hogan and Warrior, where half the fans loved Hogan and half the fans loved Warrior kind of thing.
This even goes back to the Rocky Austin stuff.
Yeah, true, very true. Yeah, that too, exactly.
Because I've always said, I mean, I was a big fan. That's when I started watching wrestling, the Attitude Era. Actually, I remember the Raw, my first Raw that I watched. It was on my birthday, and it was the day that they were doing the 10 bell salute for Brian Pillman. Because he just died.
I remember that
day.
Yeah.
That was my first Raw. So I was like, because I didn't know about all this, and, you know, I wasn't on the internet back then. So that was just weird to me. But then I was like, why are they doing this? And then, you know, but, yeah, I've loved that era, like, And I've always said you're either an Austin fan or a Rock fan. I mean, you could be both now, I guess. But back then, you were one or the other, and I was always Stone Cold Steve Austin because that's what got me watching.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I like the comparison to Austin and Rock, you know, and Cena and Punk. But you know, Austin and Rock were kind of on even ground, and the way I see it, I think Cena is kind of lacking compared to Punk as far as in ring goes. The thing about Cena also is that he is really capable of delivering really good promos, but he is he's too much of a company man to like kind of improv. You know what I mean? They give him such bad stuff to say sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean. Back when he was when he used to rap back in the day, he was fantastic. I mean, it's just they don't give him the chance to improv, I think. I mean, I think if his character is kind of stuck in being that, you know, crappy, you know, not to steal the Rock, Fruity Pebble kind of like baby face, like that so it's hard, I think, to improv on that too. So,
You know what it is that he's perpetually stuck in the middle. Because he's just about every promo this last few months that he's done, it's like people who are gonna like me are gonna like me, and people who are gonna hate me are gonna hate me. So like, well, no, dude, you gotta win people over, or you gotta lose people. Like, you can't. I understand that, like, you're the company guy and you make the money, but you can't stay in the middle. Austin never stayed in the middle. Austin started out as a bad guy, he became a good guy, and then a bad guy again, and then a good guy. Same with The Rock. You know, you can go back and forth. I don't know, which is one of the reasons why I don't understand why WWE, like, doesn't pull the plug on the Cena heel thing.
Well, here's
I understand
the thing.
He makes money, but, you know, Austin and Rock were the biggest guys, and they went back and forth.
Well, here's the thing. You notice that the things kind of went downhill for them when they turned Austin heel the first time. That was a big mistake.
That cost them a lot of money. That was a huge, huge problem back then. I remember that when they did that. And, backlashed completely against it. And they tried everything. They put him with Triple H, and nothing worked. They put him, you know, had him do comedy skits. People still cheered him, you know. It didn't work.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. I mean, with The Rock, he can flip-flop as much as he wants because he started out as a heel. And it's just that people kind of grew to like him. And he never changed. You know, he was still being a dick to the announcers, particularly Michael Cole, and he was still doing his thing. So that made a lot of sense. But, you know, Cena, on the other hand, they think, you know, he makes all this money for them right now with the merch. And considering how business is kind of down right now, they're not going to let this guy turn and then lose, you know, risk losing all that revenue.
Him and Rey Mysterio are the two top merchandise guys. None of those guys are ever going to turn heel.
And Mysterio is going to be on the shelf, or he already is on the shelf because of that bad
So there's no way they'll ever, you know, and I would love nothing more to see Cena turn heel and just be, because you know he can reinvent himself kind of like Hulk Hogan did when he turned heel, but they're never going to let it happen until, you know, unless the business gets hot, really hot again, and they can take that chance. But you know, Vince is not going to let it happen right now. No matter what we think, I can almost guarantee it's not going to happen. People were predicting.
I agree. I don't think it's going to happen ever. Mostly because it's Cena and he sells, and they're not going to build anyone up more than Cena until Cena something bad happens to him. You know, and I hope I don't wish ill on the guy. He does a lot of great things outside of wrestling, but you can't predict the future. And with everything that's happened in the last couple of years with, you know, wrestling fans and all that, I'm not wrestling fans, but like with wrestling, accidents happen. And the problem with the WWE and John Cena is that they can't keep relying on the one guy. Mm-hmm. And they got to build people up, but they don't build people up because they don't want people to watch Cena lose.
That's another reason.
Oh, sorry, go for it.
I was just going to say, that's another reason I don't think they'll ever turn Cena heel, is that they don't have anybody to replace him as the top face.
That's right. What I think. But I think, CM Punk, like, I think with him right now, it's like, you know, Cena's been kind of muted the last couple of months where, you know, they finally have someone like CM Punk, and they let him, you know, kind of say what everyone's been thinking and kind of saying, you know, Cena's boring, WWE's stale, you know, Cena's this company guy. And I really think, you know, that's why Cena hasn't really been shoved down our throats as much, it seems, the last couple of months. And hopefully that will go on. But I know for a fact a lot of my friends are kind of getting back into it because of this fact that it's starting to be cool again, and Cena's kind of, you know, not being, it's not, you know, him coming out every week and being the super baby face. So I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen, but, you know, you never know.
I wish they kept Cena muted all throughout Raw this
week. He only came up for the last 3 minutes now.
I know, and he ruined a lot of shit for me during that Raw. It was awful.
I think he can cut good promos when he's not jokey.
Great promos. He's really good. But that promo was all bullshit. And I didn't notice he hadn't been on the show until he came out, which is pretty bad.
Wow.
Which is pretty bad.
But so much anger.
That fucking promo on Del Rio just completely cut Del Rio down when you didn't need to. All right, like he came out and he's like, "Oh, you're not a champion. You're a thief. You stole the belt. You don't deserve the championship. Wait until you had to defend it," which he just did 2 fucking seconds before Cena came out, and he won clean against Mysterio. He won clean, but I guess what Cena meant is that he didn't defend it against him, which, you know what? And also, for a fucking guy who has had Money in the Bank cashed in on him multiple times, he's more pissed off that Del Rio cashed in on someone else than he's ever been pissed off when someone cashed in on him. And the guy who fucking got cashed in on said he doesn't even fucking blame Del Rio. He's like, "I did it. Many other people have done it. I don't blame Del Rio. He took a shot and he got it. He deserves it." And then you got Cena come out, fucking belittles Del Rio with that whole stupid speech about how he doesn't deserve to be champion and he has to defend the championship and wait until he defends the championship, which he just had a good 20-minute match with Mysterio, and he had a match the week before with Daniel Bryan, and he had a match this week on SmackDown with Daniel Bryan. Like, really? Like, you just completely decimated the fucking WWE champion with your stupid fucking words in 3 fucking minutes. In 3 minutes, at the end of the show, he just ruins Del Rio. Why? What for?
I think your dream would be a John Cena versus Kevin Nash match.
When everyone tears their quads.
or pectorals or whatever.
Okay, you know what, if we're on it right now, Kevin Nash made this explanation why he did what he did on Monday. And clearly you are not thrilled, because I saw your Twitter feed. I was actually checking Twitter while I was at the Raw show, just waiting to see what you had to say. And there it was.
I fucking hate Kevin Nash.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's all it was. It was like the entire promo was, "I fucking hate Kevin Nash. I fucking hate Kevin Nash." I was talking to Jason online, and I was like, "Hey, you know what the best thing Kevin Nash did in wrestling?" He's like, "What?" I said, "He signed with WCW and got the fuck out of WWE. Oh, God. I don't like Kevin Nash. I think he's
I can't tell.
Yeah, and at first, that promo really pissed me off, because he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to tell the truth. I got a text message that Triple H told me to stick it to the champion." First of all, you know, like, he's using a lot of inside terms that not many wrestling fans are familiar with now. No, wrestling fans now are Cena guys. Like you know, like you said, you notice a lot of Cena guys at the show. How many people really now today, besides us nerds, really know about Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and X-Pac and HBK and Triple H as a clique back then? Not many.
You're right. Exactly.
So he was bringing up all this shit that no one fucking knew.
Well, that's, yeah.
He had, like, little to no reaction when he came out, I mean, from my standpoint on TV.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it depends, because I mean, when he came out at the Rumble, I was at the Rumble in Boston in January. He got a bigger pop than friggin' Cena did when he came out. Like, people were going apeshit, thinking he was the greatest thing in the world. Like, they're like, oh my God, it's Big Daddy Cool Diesel. So it's almost like you have to, I don't know if it's the right, and you notice like at some Raws, CM Punk is super over, and sometimes Cena, it almost depends where in the country they are, because I really do think the Northeast.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's a lot more smart, you know, smart wrestling fans where, you know, obviously depending where they are, you're right, there's a lot more Cena people who don't know any of that stuff. And I was reading how, I guess, they're going to try to rectify it. They realized the promo came off bad. They're going to try to, you know, make it, dumb it down a little bit more so they can explain it, because obviously I think the intention, at least I assume, is to eventually bring HBK
right.
into
it. And how long has Kevin Nash... hasn't been in the WWE since what, 03, 04 with the return of the NWO?
Oh,
but that didn't even last long to make an impact.
Yeah, he had
there was an impact on his quad. man, I still remember that tag match where he pulled his quad. Like, ah!
Fantastic. He just got tagged in the ring and he just tore his quad, made one step. He planted his foot wrong.
Yeah. Man,
you talk about matches.
So he was bringing up a lot.
Hold on, what was that, Ryan?
Oh, I'm sorry. You guys were talking about Nash's promo being maybe too inside.
Yep.
It's interesting that Punk does pretty much the same thing, but I don't know if it gets better over with the audience somehow.
I think,
because nobody knew who John Laurinaitis was before 2 weeks ago.
I think they're really going for the Punk is one of those guys that they're really going for the internet smart fans with. Yep. You know,
Punk is like us. He reads comic books. He's a wrestling fan. He's not a fan. He's a nerd. He knows history. He knows just stupid, inane facts like we do.
I think Punk goes over because he's really saying a lot of the sentiments that a lot of people have about the product.
Yeah.
And Nash, the way he's talking promos about stuff that goes on behind the scenes that nobody would have known about. Whereas, and it was happening during a time where really there weren't really that many smarts, you know, not many smart fans.
There wasn't the internet for everyone to talk everything to death.
It wasn't until I didn't get into the internet start of it, but until you know the screw job, because I had to find out what was going on, what the hell happened. You know, that was when the first time I started reading like the dirt sheets, you know, the inside stuff. I mean, before that, I had no idea that anything, you know, besides what I saw on TV was what was happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was really.
But the other problem with that promo was Nash could not keep up with Punk.
No,
and it made Nash look terrible.
That's okay because that's what Punk was supposed to be trying to do.
That's what I wanted, but at the same time, it was just like this is really bad. Because Punk was insulting him, and all he had to say was "shut your mouth," and then. You've been champion what? How many times in the last couple months? Really? You've main evented twice?
I loved when he said, he's like, go, take a shower. I forget something. Like, get a clue. And like, I'm just like,
lift some weights.
Yeah, lift some weights and get a clue.
Yeah,
and I'm just
and I'm glad Punk was like, dude, this isn't 94 anymore. Like,
I mean, I think that was the whole point. I think Nash kind of maybe was bad, but on the other hand, a lot of what he was saying, I think, was made so Punk could easily just because they're basically just going to have Nash be a stalling point for Punk until he can get through him, and you know, it's going to be the Click versus the Punk, the company versus Punk, pretty much, obviously. So he's going to serve his purpose. I mean, I don't think he's not going to go over Punk or anything. So I mean, I don't have a problem with him. If he, you know, Punk's going to take him out eventually. I don't know. They're probably going to wait. I don't think they're going to do it at Night of Champions. But, you know, Nash is one of those people that, yeah, all he does is talk about, you know, inside stuff. And I think that's why they thought it would be magic if they put him and Punk together on mics. But obviously, Nash just wasn't ready and up to Punk's speed at this point. Obviously.
Yeah, no. Punk Nash was not ready at all. And that's why Punk was, like, on his game. Nash looked like a little boy who couldn't come up with a good comeback.
That's why I think they're gonna have HBK come in and be his like speaking point because they need someone to like kind of speak for. Just think about it, like, you know, someone's gonna, they're gonna that way, if they have HBK in it, more of the fans will kind of buy into it because HBK is a huge, like, one of the biggest names of all time, and once he's involved, you know, the whole DX thing is gonna, so that I think once that happens, it's gonna start, you know, the ball turning faster.
You really think they're gonna bring HBK in?
Oh, without a doubt. They mentioned him on commentary. They mentioned that HBK was twittering about the whole thing. So I have no doubt that they're going to bring him in. I think it's going to be Triple H. They're going to try to like break the fourth wall and show that like Click is running the show now since Vince is gone. I think they're going to really do that. I think it's leading to Triple H versus Punk, whenever that's going to be. I don't know, but
I hope not Mania.
So. No, I don't think Mania.
I hope before the end of the year.
I think it'll be Survivor Series most likely.
That would be cool. I want to try Survivor Series at Madison Square Garden this year, so I'm going to try and go.
Yeah, and The Rock's going to be there, so yeah, it should be a huge show. But yeah, I really do think that's where they're heading. I could be completely wrong because I mean they've done. I just think that, I don't know, but I think they're slow building it. They're going to do a slow burn, so I don't know. That's just my guess.
I've actually cooled off on the whole Nash thing since.
Yeah, I was expecting more venom out of you.
Yeah, well, like I said the other night, I was really angry.
Yeah, you were pissed. just on Twitter, just by reading Twitter, I could tell you were pissed.
I kept showing my buddy Chris was with me at the show. I kept showing him your tweets, and he's just laughing his ass off. Oh man, check out what Antonio just said about Kevin Nash's segment. Oh man.
So Pat, what was the reaction to Nash when he came out? Was there?
It was a decent pop, but you know, but actually there were a lot of. It's actually a pretty mixed reaction because there are a lot of people who are mad because he screwed Punk the night before. So a lot of people were watching.
You know what? You know the real reason I was pissed that Kevin Nash was there. He got pulled with Triple H and stole R-Truth's music.
Wow.
Because R-Truth came out to do his old music at that Raw, and Kevin Nash came out to nothing.
Are you saying it's a conspiracy?
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy, exactly.
Man, speaking of Truth, man, that guy's gotten really, really entertaining.
He really has. And you know, surprisingly, I blame the writers a lot of the time, and you know, Vince is out of touch. He said in an interview I think last week that you know Vince was the one who came up with the idea of Little Jimmy, and I think it's freaking hilarious how they're doing. You know, maybe they're pushing him a little too to the crazy point, but I think he's actually, you know, he's in a lot of big matches now. He's on every show, and he's getting over, and he's hilarious at the same time. So
yeah, I agree. And this is coming from someone who was, when he was doing that stupid rap shit with Eve,
yeah.
Every time I heard his music, I was like, oh Jesus, not this again.
Yeah,
I couldn't stand him.
No, but I understand.
He really broke out as the little. I hate Little Jimmy thing.
Yeah.
I think it's been great. I know they can continue doing it. I just hope he doesn't have more fucking a longer feud with John Morrison. I hate John Morrison.
I like John Morrison. Oh,
wait. So now it's going to be Cena versus Morrison versus Nash. I'm joking. ultimate Nash.
That'll be your dream pay-per-view, huh?
No, 60 minute event of WrestleMania.
Oh no. Someone's going to tear a quad. Oh man.
Melina in a cage. Never mind.
God, Melina in a cage. You hear her screaming. That's the winner
gets Melina.
Oh god.
Yeah, let's briefly talk about Melina and her release from the company.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about random news stuff.
From the company, done.
and nobody cared.
And no one cares, exactly.
She tried to get backstage and they didn't let her back because even after she was released.
I heard of that.
So stupid. I'm like, are you seriously? And Morrison is an idiot too for even like thinking that would be okay. I'm like, wow, he's gonna he's gonna end up blowing his big money, you know, push because of her again. He's just an idiot. I just don't get it. I've never seen anything in her.
Wrestler. That match with Truth on Monday night was almost all outside the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the commentary was like, look at how amazing John Morrison is. But yeah, he's not a wrestler. He's just doing fancy flips and shit outside the ring. Because he can't wrestle.
Anything. It's just random stuff. It doesn't flow very well.
Right,
yeah,
he's a spot monkey, you know.
He can't tell a story. All he does is go for the spots, and you know, we're lucky if he hits them.
like Jeff Hardy, pretty much. Honestly, he's like a like a non-drugged out Jeff Hardy. So
except for the fact that at least Jeff Hardy's swanton looks like it could hurt when he does it to you. Unlike Starship Pain, he misses almost every time.
Yeah. Starship Pain.
Oh, man.
He barely hits someone. And you know what? I've actually never been a John Morrison fan because I watched his Tough Enough season.
Yep.
And I remember him on it, and all he wanted to do was learn the high flying stuff and get and do all that stuff. He never learned the basics, and apparently that shows because he can't wrestle. He can wrestle well enough, but he can't tell a story, and he just relies too heavily on high flying. And
his parkour expertise.
Yeah, the
parkour. He's the shaman of sexy. Oh, sorry.
Parkour stuff and stuff outside the ring. I mean, like, look at, there have been amazing high flyers in wrestling. You still got some today, like Rey Mysterio, but then you got guys like, you know, RVD and
RVD's cool. Terrible Evan, right now.
Yeah, RVD is kind of old and broken down. Evan Bourne.
But Evan Bourne can wrestle. Evan Bourne can tell a story. Morrison can't.
It's funny, though. Do you guys remember when Morrison and Miz were going to split? Everyone was assured that John Morrison was going to be the superstar, Shawn Michaels, and Miz was going to be the Marty Jannetty, who was going to be a jobber or like a mid-card. And look, yes, Miz is in the top right now, but, I mean, he's headlined WrestleMania. So it's kind of funny how it kind of it switched around. And Miz has the charisma.
He had the WWE title for like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah,
John Morrison had one title shot, and it was on a Raw.
Yeah, I mean, and Miz.
And it was against The Miz.
Yeah, and The Miz is like, you know, he's with all the media. He's a media superstar. The media loves him, and he's sort of their media, like, hook to, you know. And so they're never going to, like, destroy The Miz and make him, like, a jobber. I mean, The Miz is going to always be in the upper mid-card right now, I think. I mean,
and he's going to sell you Subway sandwiches.
Oh, that was terrible. I forgot about that.
That was fucking awful.
Here we go, Antonio.
I'll be with him on that. What the fuck was the point of that?
I read online that apparently they're going somewhere with that, and when I read that, I'm like, that's fucking great.
Wait, are they going to do Jared the Subway Guy versus Miz?
Yeah, and Jared's going to go over.
Oh, dear God.
That sounds like something TNA would have done.
That was such a waste of fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all like, what the hell's going on here? Wait, Jared's here? Look, I want to beat him up.
That segment pissed me off.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
When we saw Jared, they're like, wow, did he really bring a Subway sandwich with him?
Even in a bag, it's still wrapped. I wouldn't have eaten that. Right after that segment, Miz tweeted, oh, let's get, like, oven-roasted chicken.
Trending.
That's trending. I was like, no. Dude, that's you were WWE champion. What the fuck was that? I was like, really, dude? Like, what the fuck was that?
And so now we got...
And you know what? Even if they're going to continue this, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit because it's fucking retarded.
So we got Cena versus Morrison versus Nash versus Jared the Subway Guy. With Melina in a cage.
For the ugly WWE Championship spinner belt.
Oh, dear God.
I was so hoping.
I hate that championship belt. Yeah. I hate that championship belt so much.
I kind of got over it now, but I know people hate it. But, you know, at this point, it sells money. They're not going to change it because they sell so, – every time I've gone to a Raw or a pay-per-view, every kid or, you know, even adult want that spinner belt. It doesn't matter if they like seeing it. They just want it because it's cool because it spins and it's glittery and it looks cool. So until that changes, I don't think they're going to, you know, phase it back to the old – it's all about the money now because they're a huge, you know, thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What else about Raw? What else did you guys enjoy about Raw? Disliked or liked about Raw?
How about the continuing, just shitting on Jim Ross?
Oh, that God, that was, you know, obviously we know Vince hates JR, and I don't know why he just doesn't outright like fire him or do whatever, because it's obvious, it's weird, he like plays these games where it's totally Vince. You know, I know a lot of people hate Michael Cole, and I think he's annoying, but you gotta understand most of what's going through his headset is what Vince is telling him to say, so it's all Vince, you know, spewing his fucking hatred about Jim Ross and how untalented and, you know, etc. And then, you know, they had Ziggler stomp on his hat and stuff, and just
yeah like I mean, I was never really a Jim Ross fan until he left and we got stuck with Michael Cole.
Yeah.
But, and like, enough shitting on the guy. Enough. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you were, you remember the time, the days when, you know, they had – JR had that, like, surgery and they had Vince pulling stuff out of his ass and stuff, like, on that, like, that skit they did where, like, Vince was dressed like a surgeon and they had, like, a dummy and he was pulling, like, objects out of, like, a fake asshole. And, like, they were, like, basically making fun of JR having, like, a real, like, serious cancer surgery or potential cancer surgery. Like, Vince doesn't care about Jim Ross at all. And I don't even know why.
Then why is he there?
I have a feeling Triple H and the others that are backstage are the only ones that are like – the others, people there must, you know, respect him. And I mean, he's back on the show for a reason. Someone there must, you know, like him, but I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense because Triple H made sure that it was Jim Ross calling the his Mania match with Undertaker.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I think Triple H is a big part of it. And so I think as Vince hopefully someday retires or goes away, I think you'll see JR, you know, back full force. But, you know, for now, I had to take, you know, you had to take the good with the bad. And at least he's on Raw every week. Yes, it sucks that he has to be with Cole. And Cole is just terrible. But, I think a lot of it is just Vince telling him, like, a lot of – and he's just – Cole is, like, over-the-top annoying now. I mean, and I don't know how much of it is his part and which isn't, so.
Yeah, especially with the Daniel Bryan stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, I can't watch Daniel Bryan match with Cole on commentary because he ruins it.
Yeah.
Nerd.
I think that was the biggest what the fuck moment of the year. That was him winning Money in the Bank because I never thought they would give him that. I still can't believe it.
I'm so happy I called it.
I think you were the only one. I thought I was like no fucking way. And I
wasn't like, oh, Daniel Bryan's gonna win.
Yeah.
I was like, realistically, I think Sheamus is going to win, but I want Daniel Bryan to win.
Yeah.
And then he won, and I was like, wow. That
pay-per-view is, like, most perfectly booked. Money in the Bank was, like, that actually came out not too recently on DVD. So if anyone hasn't checked out that pay-per-view, that was probably the best WWE pay-per-view of the past, like, 5 years easily.
Yeah.
And also, you could actually buy all those matches on iTunes. You could just, you know, avoid getting the Divas match and get all the other matches and, like, $3 each in HD. It's totally worth it. I bought the two Money in the Bank, you know, ladder matches and the main event and the Orton Christian thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You can buy the individual. I realized, like, I saw them on iTunes, like, whoa. Like, the full show is like a full season, and then you can buy the episodes individually, the matches individually.
That's pretty great.
So the Divas match stays behind.
That's a very smart idea by them, actually. That's cool that they're, you know. Yeah, I have to give them credit. You know, they're really pushing, you know, the Twitter and, you know, the other sources of media, which, you know, surprisingly, you would think, you know, Vince would kind of be, like, old school. But they're really going, like, to the point where, like I said, you know, they mentioned HBK was tweeting during the show about the Nash and Triple H stuff, and they mentioned it in the commentary. So the fact that they're really, like, you know, keeping up with Twitter is kind of surprising to me. Actually.
They have to. I mean, they're a global company now, and like I take the train to school, you know, once a week or whenever I go into the city.
Yeah,
and like every ad I see for a big company, follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Flickr and YouTube, and they have to embrace it. I mean, they put up stuff on YouTube all the time, and they put up some pretty cool shit on there too.
It's just, you know, TNA was the first one to kind of get into the YouTube thing, and they've completely dropped the ball on any sort of, like, media tie-in stuff. I mean, TNA is a joke right now, but, I mean, they just – I don't know. I don't understand how some company that was actually ahead of WWE in the media stuff completely just dropped the ball and, like, I don't know. So
that's what TNA does.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of TNA and dropping the ball, let's talk about Virgin Unemployed. I give credit to that was a Brian joke, by the
that
way.
That was my original joke. But I actually, Pat, you can take it.
It's Matt or Pat Hardy version Unemployed. So he apparently got arrested for DUI after he had, crashed into a tree, apparently.
Yeah. Somehow he survived that. Yeah, they gave him a blood alcohol level test, and he failed it. And I guess Dixie Carter made the call to release him from his contract because he was already suspended. Mm-hmm. Him and Jeff Hardy are both sitting home getting paid and being suspended, so they probably thought this was the last straw with Matt. So again, so Matt Hardy appeared on like 2 months worth of shows and did absolutely nothing for the company. Man. Yet he claims he's this like huge mega star that WWE dropped the ball on, which is hilarious.
Man, the cold heart, man, the cold heart guy.
Yeah, I forgot about that, man. Cold.
Oh man,
what the hell was the cold heart?
Oh man, the cold heart Matt Hardy. I remember the promos he was cutting when he was reunited with Jeff. They were all awful. It sounded like it was.
He could never cut a promo to save his life.
And I guess the plan was that they were going to come back. The Hardys were going to come back as baby faces at Bound for Glory, which is now completely scrapped. So I don't even know TNA. I shake my head anytime I read anything about that company. Anyone want to interest? No, go for it.
I'm sure Dixie Carter, when she got the news, was like, yes, I can fire that fucking guy.
All right, I'm saving some money.
Because that guy sucks. Why did I sign him in the first place? Oh, because I'm sure she signed him because she got Jeff Hardy, and she's like, oh, well, we want to keep Jeff Hardy. Let's sign Matt, I guess.
Let's be honest. They'll sign anyone that comes from WWE just so they can like be like, yeah, we got a ex-WWE guy, and then they proceed to do nothing with them. Or they just use Mr. Anderson, who I fucking hate.
Oh,
that's one person I'll fucking rant on is I fucking hate Mr. Anderson. I can't stand him. I couldn't stand him in WWE, and I can't stand him in TNA. He's a terrible wrestler. He's a terrible promo guy. His promos are not terrible, but they just are stupid. And he wants to be a wannabe Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it pisses me off. So that's my sorry.
I wonder.
I think you're getting a little too angry for this podcast.
Shut up. Listen to you.
I'm sorry.
I wonder if
right
Matt
now
was...
they're not even doing anything with Samoa Joe.
Yeah,
Samoa Joe, man.
One of the better wrestlers they have, and you're doing nothing with him.
Apparently, he wants to jump to WWE. Punk is telling him to come over because it's awesome, and so
that's
apparently
great.
Apparently, he won his contract. So I hope he does because they've. I've never seen a guy that's been so over, like the biggest name in the company, gone to like a jobber that loses every match and now is just like a nothing. And for some reason, they thought that was a good idea.
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
I'm just trying to figure out whatever happened to that bit where he was abducted, he got kidnapped, and then next time he just goes back.
Oh, <God. laughs>
They never explained it. He just got kidnapped, and then he showed up like 2 weeks later, and they're like, oh, he's back.
He could have cut a promo where, like, yeah, someone kidnapped me. They realized he was the wrong guy. They thought they were kidnapping Yokozuna, but they were wrong.
Oh, no.
that's the thing, though, with like, TNA. Like, I don't really follow TNA, but every now and then I'll hear, like, oh, yeah, they were building up to this, but then they just kind of scrapped that with no explanation.
Yeah, I mean,
and I hear that every couple of months, and I was like, that's fucking hysterical.
I mean, we can bitch about WWE, but let me tell you, TNA is like a zillion, million, thousand fucking times worse. Like, they have no idea. They can't book their way out of a paper bag. Their big feuds right now is Sting versus Ric Flair, and then they're going to do Sting and Hogan at Bound for Glory.
Oh, God, no.
Yes. So, I mean, that's what they think is going to draw. That's how stupid they are.
Yeah, maybe... What, 20 years ago?
Yeah, 1997 it drew, but not 2011. It's just Hogan can't even walk. It's just like, oh my! And I love.
There's
Sting.
Another. There's another guy I hate. I hate Hulk Hogan. I fucking hate Hogan.
Yeah, here's something like yesterday,
and it's not even for his wrestling stuff. It's for what he says outside of wrestling. When he shit on Edge for retiring,
that was fucking.
When he shit on Edge for retiring because Edge had a career-threatening injury, Hulk Hogan was like, "No, man, that guy's a fucking pussy. You should
man up." He's like, "Brother, you can't hang with us, brother." He's like,
"Yeah, you can't hang. Everyone like us now works through their injury, dude. You're old as shit, and you're gonna fucking die if you continue the way you're going. How much blood does Ric Flair spill every time he's in a fucking match?
Oh, man. It's like a puzzle of scar tissue.
Oh, God. Did any of you guys actually watch TNA last Thursday? Because I sat through
Hell
some of that.
No.
Oh, man.
I saw part of it.
The opening was hilarious because the moment Sting entered the ring, He did a couple of bumps. Like it's like he was being slammed by an invisible opponent, and then he was talking about how that's how it felt like the other night. Like, what the hell? And he's doing the whole Joker thing, which is
God bless Vince Russo. Oh my god.
Yeah, really.
Oh my god. And then Ric Flair came back, and he was all weird. He was like I don't know what he's on. He sounded like he was on. He's on some serious meds or something because he was all.
Dude, I think they're.
He was all hugging. He was all into a hugging mood. He was trying to hug it out with Hogan.
Those two guys. They're not. Yeah, that was the best thing. It's like, let's have them be. I respect Sting was my big hero back when I was a teen. I was 16 when they did the Sting and NWO thing, and I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I still think it's one of the best storylines you've ever done in wrestling, where the guy stays in the rafters and doesn't talk for a year, and they draw the biggest buy rate when he comes back. I mean, that it was just money. But I'd see him now with his receding hairline and him just going out there.
Is that the Wolfpack stuff?
Oh, no. The Crow stuff. Yeah, when he first came back, when he came down and attacked.
Oh, this is like after the color face paint and he went into black and white?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just like, this is the greatest thing. And then they built up to that Starrcade and they screwed it up. But no, I just to see him now is just kind of sad because, I really do wish he had gone to WWE and did that Mania match that they offered him. And instead he went to TNA and now he's just going to, obviously, I don't know. He just looks old and broken down.
He's just being what he's done in WCW in the 90s. Yeah. And I think that's one of the problems with TNA right now is that, they sign a couple of ROH guys, and they sign whoever. If anyone leaves WWE and they still want to wrestle, they'll sign them immediately.
Chris Masters will be there next in a couple of weeks, probably now.
Probably.
Man, you know what? That'd be an improvement, though, because Chris Masters, he's actually gotten good.
No, he has. He actually has improved.
I'm really sad that they let him go right when he was actually building himself up.
Yeah, and Punk made a point to mention that in a promo, which I thought was kind of weird but cool at the same time.
Yeah,
no one's going to miss Kozlov. But, Chris Masters was in the SummerSlam promo commercials.
Yeah, which is
weird.
And they continued to
show them when he was gone.
Did you see the YouTube video that Chris Masters himself posted? He has a channel called Masterpiece Theater or something like that. He posted
that's great.
He kind of invaded the WWE access thing, and he was hanging out with fans, signing autographs, taking pictures.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the dude's really gotten far. I mean, you could tell he's more confident as a speaker. He's better at kind of verbalizing. So he's cutting decent, pretty good promos there. And he did an interview with, I forgot which podcast that was, but he did a great interview where he was talking about his time there and his time on Superstars. And they were kind of making a joke about how he was the Superstar champion.
Wouldn't that be Zack Ryder?
Oh, no. The internet champion?
Yeah. No, I'm just talking. Yeah. I thought he had one of the greatest tweets during the draft a couple of months ago, where Zack Ryder's like, I hope I get drafted to SmackDown or Raw from Superstars.
Man.
I thought that was great. I was like, I thought he was on Raw.
And he's on
SmackDown now? How is he doing on SmackDown? I don't really watch SmackDown.
It's actually, dude, you should watch. It's gotten really good. Last Friday, like I said, they had that awesome Battle Royal that Mark Henry won to become number one contender.
And then there's
the awesome Del Rio and Daniel Bryan match, which I thought was pay-per-view worthy even.
Nice.
That was really good. Yeah. I mean, they put the entire episode of SmackDown on YouTube, so check it out there.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. And there's a couple other matches. I'm kind of blanking on what they were.
They're giving Cody a big push now too. And DB Austin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Ryan here's a big Cody mark.
Oh, is it Cody?
Well, more Cody than DiBiase getting.
Yeah, DiBiase's like
from what I've been reading, Cody's the new IC champion now, and he's winning matches. And then when people come to attack Cody, he just pushes Ted in front of him.
Yeah, it's mostly going to lead to DiBiase turning on him, which is their hope, I guess.
Which no one cares about because no one likes Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
He's too much of a jackass. They had their chance with him, like,
dude,
way
he's
back.
He's the Marine, too.
Yeah, do you guys remember that Raw where he – when Legacy was still together and they had that one Raw where his – I think it might have been the one where his father was the guest GM or whatever. Uh-huh. But he had the match with Orton and the fans were hugely behind DiBiase. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was super over. That was, like, their one shot, I think, of, like, getting him – over, and then after that, it was pretty much too late.
And they failed, which sucks.
Yeah, failed.
Miserably. But they did a pretty good job with Cody.
I remember I kept reading online that that he was going to get a face turn when that stupid movie came out, and it didn't happen.
Yeah,
because nobody
happened.
Cared about the movie. Wait, nobody bought the movie. Never mind.
Yeah, my favorite exchange over the past couple of weeks was when Punk and Triple H were making Punk made fun of Triple H for being the chaperone, and then Triple H was like, yeah, so what about your movie? I forget what's that called. And he's like, yeah, he was like, it went straight to DVD, just like yours.
Yeah.
I just love the funny little, like, battles they have.
Yeah. Seriously, though, Cody has been such a – he has really jumped up. I really wish they would go – I thought he was great because, like, I remember when he was dashing and he had that theme song. And he had, and the theme song cracks me up because, like, you know, it starts to go, what? And he's so happy and all upbeat. And then now when he became disfigured or whatever, they have like a sad version of that. Like,
yeah,
goes,
it's all like.
He had the best match at Mania, I think, this year.
Yeah, pretty close. Actually, I
think. Well, besides Taker and Triple H.
And Punk and Orton was pretty good, too. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, Punk and Orton was pretty good.
But yeah, you're right. I mean,
he definitely had one of the better matches at Mania.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
He should have been pushed back then. I mean, that Rey Mysterio, wasn't the rumor that Rey Mysterio, like, handpicked him to be his opponent?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
And they put on a great – that Stalling superplex, holy shit, man.
Yeah, I mean –
he has more talent than DiBiase.
Yeah.
And also, I love – you know what's amazing about the wrestlers these days? A lot of them are nerds like we are.
Yeah.
I mean, Cody Rhodes, like, you know, we were talking about Cody Rhodes, and apparently his jacket, his ring, his attire was inspired by Mr. Sinister's costume. Of course, he has a Dr. Doom mask going.
That's awesome.
I was like,
And he even says that he's, like, thinking of, like, he takes what do you call it? He gets his influence from Dr. Doom and, like, Mr. Sinister. He actually wanted, like, a Mr. Sinister-like coat to wear at WrestleMania. Yeah.
Yeah, but the patterns on the jacket are actually based off of a Sinister costume. What was that, Ryan?
I said, you remember when he had the Triforce logo on his boots?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the first things I noticed about him. I was like, oh, dude's a Zelda fan.
You know what's awesome though? I mean, kind of going back to CM Punk, that dude is so hard. He's such a hardcore comics guy. Like,
he was just tweeting about Valiant Comics like 2 minutes ago.
No, a couple hours ago, he tweeted a picture of all these XO Manowar comics he bought at a comic shop in Saskatoon. And
that
then
is awesome.
And when he tweeted that he was in Saskatoon looking for comic shops, Brubaker was the first guy to tweet to him, hey, do they carry criminal there? And he's like, no, they don't. And then Brubaker was like, he was like, bastards.
Oh, yeah, man. Punk has been reading a lot of Brubaker stuff lately.
There's a video from the Fan Access during SummerSlam where someone asked him who his favorite comic book character
was. Yeah, I saw that.
He was like, I love Batman, although I can't read it right now because he's not really into Grant Morrison's Batman, which I can understand. But then he goes, he's all about Ed Brubaker. I'm like,
he's like, but I'll tell you who my favorite writer is, even though no one asked me, and that's Ed Brubaker. Yeah.
And I tweeted that YouTube link on towards Brubaker, and Brubaker retweeted it. That was funny. Punk is probably getting, you know, giving Brubaker all kinds of sales right now. Maybe he's getting a kickback out of it too. Maybe free stuff.
I don't know. Like, it's I like the reason I like CM Punk is because he's like us. He's a nerd who reads comics, but he's also a wrestling nerd. You don't see you didn't see anyone else after Macho Man died come out in Macho Man like attire.
Oh, that was so great!
That was fucking awesome. And I actually saw he got shit on it on Twitter because people didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Like, yeah, way to be a real man, come out in pink and yellow. And he's like, hey, fucktard, I was doing an homage to Macho Man. And I think even Cena defended him. He was like, yeah, Punk was doing, you know, he was honoring one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
You know,
calm the fuck down.
You know, despite the fact that they play rivals every time, you know, Punk and Cena, they seem to be pretty tight as far as, like, if you see their interactions online and just by some of the things I've seen, and like in house shows and other places, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess they said that actually after SummerSlam, they said they'd never seen Cena like so happy, like he thought like he had such a fantastic match with Punk. And, like, they
thought that match at SummerSlam was better than Money in the Bank.
I don't know. I thought the Money in the Bank
stupid finish. Well, you know what? I think the Money in the Bank match was a little sloppier, slightly sloppier, a couple blown spots here and there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I there was something about the SummerSlam match that
I think when they got to the SummerSlam match, it was perfected. But the thing was the feeling about the Money in the Bank match,
because
they built up to that so well, you know, and it's the first big, you know, the first time they had this thing in a really, really big, the first time they've had this match in such an important context, you know, and that's why it was better.
And the crowd was red hot for that match, and that helped a lot.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was like the last time that was something like that was just like, you know, something. Just the last thing they had something like that was, you know, One Night Stand with RVD and Cena. Like, they never had a crowd reaction quite like that in a long time.
The best part about that was every time Cena tried to throw his shirt into the crowd threw it back.
Yeah, they threw it back at him.
That was
great.
And I love the I remember the sign that says, if Cena wins, we riot.
Yeah.
Dude, there were people, like the people behind me in, you know, at Raw, like if Del Rio beat Mysterio, they were going to riot. I'm like, you realize that Mysterio was injured, right? He is not going to win this. And then it took me a while to realize, oh, these guys think this is real.
Yeah, that's when you get the guys that are like thinking it's like, I still can't believe there's people out there that, you know, more power to them if that's what they think, but it's kind of funny, and there's still people who are like, believe it, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Speaking of, go ahead, Antonio.
I was just going to say that it's kind of, I mean, I'm not a Mysterio fan. I don't hate him, but I'm not, to me, I know there's like a suspense of belief when it comes to wrestling sometimes, but I've never liked the way he's been booked, or the, like, if he had matches with like got more guys like Cody's size, I might be a bigger fan of his. Mm-hmm. But like, I think the setup to the 619 is one of the stupidest fucking things ever.
Yes,
His feuds with like Kane and Big Show and Mike Knox are completely unbelievable.
Because Mike Knox.
Look, as trained as Mysterio is, there's no way in hell in real life Mysterio could ever dominate over Mike Knox or Kane. He would just be destroyed. He never had believable booking for me.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay, and
even his feud with Nash in WCW.
Oh God, I just remember him. I just remember him getting lawn darted, and that just makes me smile.
My friend Jason linked me to a video on YouTube of that while we were watching Raw Monday. Lawn dart. He just threw Mysterio like a lawn dart.
Oh man! Anyway, before we close up, I have one last topic, and that is our great champion Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Alberto?
I love that promo on Raw at the beginning, because I was like, what's he doing right now? Is he, like, turning face? And then he's like, oh, that little chihuahua, Rey Mysterio. I was like, oh, there we go. I was bummed, though, that we didn't get a great Ricardo Rodriguez introduction at the beginning of Raw. And a little disappointed that the introduction for the match against Rey for the main event was just his average intro, but those two together work so perfectly.
Yeah,
and I'm happy he's champion. I'm glad he's getting a shot.
Dude, I think he's gonna get a pretty long run too. I don't think Cena's gonna, you know, go and beat him the next month. I don't think they're gonna. That doesn't seem to be the plan. I think they.
What do you think they're setting up for a Night of Champions? Because they're claiming, you know, that every championship is on the line. So that's six matches. That's the pay per view right there. They're not gonna have any more.
Oh, and man, I can't wait to see Otunga and McGillicuddy defend the belts.
Oh my god.
You mean you can't wait to see Otunga and McGillicuddy lose the tag team titles to whoever, and
AKA Kofi and Evan Bourne.
I don't know if I told you guys. I saw Otunga. He was staying at the place where I worked.
Really?
I saw him there. I kind of wanted to give him shit, but I was like, oh, no, never mind. So I saw Otunga there, like, and he had this dude with him. I'm like, oh, man, that's Otunga.
He still can't run the ropes.
It cracks me up when they came out with, like, they gave him some pre-wrestling attire. Like McGillicuddy had a do-rag. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, they're like trying to give them personalities now. And I'm like, a little too late for that, bro. It's a little too late.
But plus, if he can't run the ropes just like Kelly Kelly, and when you're in the same boat as Kelly Kelly, that's pretty fucking bad.
Well, he's at least not the locker room bicycle like Kelly Kelly, but never mind.
Oh, wow.
Well, hey, Orton said it. I didn't say it.
Orton's a big
player. Yeah, that's true.
Orton's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, Orton is kind of a – that's the thing. It's funny how people love him as a baby. So I'm like, dude, this guy is the most traditional heel you can get because he hates the fans. He hates them with a passion. He doesn't – he's completely in it for, you know, not the fans. He hates – a couple years ago when I went to SummerSlam in Boston 2006, there's a place right outside of Boston where Cena – and all his family and, you know, everyone, and all the wrestlers always go whenever they're in Boston. And it's this Chinese restaurant. And my friend and I knew they were going there, and all the wrestling smart fans go there. So at that point, you know, Orton came out of the restaurant, and all the fans ran up to him. There was a 10-year-old kid that went up to him and asked for his autograph, and he told him to fuck off. And I'm not joking. I'm not paraphrasing. And that's the kind of guy he is. And, you know, he wouldn't even, you know, and as much as we rag on Cena, would stayed out there for 15 minutes signing every single person's autograph.
Cena would have stayed there and signed for everyone.
Yeah. Orton just was looking. He's like, where the fuck is Viscera? And he's like, he got into a limo, and they that was it. He was hanging out with Viscera and Umaga at the time. They had a bunch of girls with them. So
I with that all the time.
that's not who I expect him to be hanging out with.
No, isn't it? It's just like,
a weird group to be.
Isn't it? And I'm just like, my friend and I are like, did he just say, where the fuck is Viscera? And then I see Viscera coming out with, like, you see Umaga had two, like, you know, hot girls on his arm, Viscera. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, where are these? Like, they weren't ring rats. I don't know if they were. It was just like bizarre. But yeah, they all hopped in a limo. But yeah, man, Orton is a real. It seems like he's a piece of shit. He seems to have matured a lot, but I still think he doesn't have that. Like,
you know why he's kind of matured, right?
Yeah, it's
that tour bus of his.
With his fake wife.
It's his tour bus, I'm telling you.
He's never been in order.
And he's, you know, and he slowly stopped hearing those voices, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus. Oh, God, when Michael Cole starts going, he's hearing his voices in his head once again.
The Apex Predator.
Oh, God, that guy.
And those stupid, faces and, like, the...
That when he made that weird, like, face at Money in the Bank where he, like, rolled his tongue to the side of his mouth. He looked like he was, like, half retarded. And I was like, what are you doing?
He was like a bushwhacker.
Yeah, when he was ready to RKO Christian, I'm like, why are you doing that? You look like the table wouldn't break and he was getting pissed. But instead of swearing now, he'll just make, like, a retarded face. I don't know if that's, like, part of his gimmick or
what.
I'm just like, oh, God. But, yeah, I mean – I don't mind the guy. I just think it's kind of shitty what he does to fans. And although I can't really defend it because Punk said he'll do the same thing if you come and see him at like 5 in the morning or outside of a show. He's not going to
Yeah, he wants his privacy too. But
yeah,
you know.
Which I understand. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think Orton kind of goes a little overboard. But, you know, mm-hmm. it's a little kid, you know, I wouldn't be – you know, you're still –
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Punk would be the type of guy who would tell a 10-year-old to fuck off.
No, I don't think he would either. Yeah.
He would come up with something more creative.
Yeah. I've always had a plan. If I ever met Punk, I was like, I know you don't like to be bothered, so I'm just going to give you some comics.
Yeah, there you go.
I would do the same thing.
And if you want to take a picture with me or sign something for me, that'd be awesome. But yeah. I'm not going to ask you.
You extend the olive branch of comic goodness.
Yeah. You like Batman? Here's Scott Snyder's Detective Run. Read it. It's great. Bye.
Before we get off the topic of CM Punk, this is how awesome he is. He changed his bio on Twitter to currently mad at Oz.
Yes, I saw that.
Which is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And the rest of it is once tipped a stripper with a Filet-O-Fish. I mean, you can't make shit like that up. He is, like, beyond awesome. He reeks of being the man.
He took the Batman thing off?
No, he says often confused with Batman still as well. Yeah, he has that in there.
I like that when he quit and he's like unemployed WWE champion.
Oh man!
I'm looking forward to having him and Del Rio go against each other eventually.
I think that's what they're going to do. Like, as get back to Del Rio. I mean, Night of Champions. I don't see Cena, you know, beating Del Rio because that's like. I think it's going to eventually be Punk chasing Del Rio.
I mean, eventually they're going to enact the automatic rematch clause. So.
Right. Well, Cena. I don't think Cena has claim to the WWE title now.
Yeah, because
as a contender,
they may do a three-way.
Yeah,
I was going to say a four-way between Mysterio, Punk, Cena, and Del Rio.
But Mysterio's out of commission right now.
Mysterio's gone.
And you know, like, that's a shame. That's what I wanted to say before about Mysterio. Like, I'm not a fan of his, but like I appreciate his work ethic and what he puts into a match because his matches are great. And to hear that he might have to have a full blown knee replacement is a fucking shame because that's done.
If you've seen his matches from WCW, I mean, in ECW, he was insane, and it's surprising he can even like walk the stuff he used to do. I mean, he had no like completely off the wall stuff, and you know it's sad to see him now. I think he's pretty much this is the end of the line. Not he'll come back from this, but I'm saying
I'm pretty sure he's going to go for one more run and then kind of retire because he really has to.
Yeah, he should retire at Mania.
He's sort of in the same boat as Undertaker. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. They're almost ready to retire kind of thing where, Undertaker may stay around till WrestleMania 30 just so they can do the complete, I think he may wrestle just once a year, that type of thing. But, yeah, Mysterio, I mean, they obviously the reason they're keeping Sin Cara is because they really need someone to replace Mysterio when he leaves. They need that guy.
Which Sin Cara?
Well, I think the original, but who knows at this point.
When I watched SmackDown, I saw Sin Cara there. Like, dude, it's Alberto Del Rio in the Sin Cara costume. It's much bigger.
Yeah, it looked like it. I watched that part of SmackDown a couple of weeks ago with a new Sin Cara just to see what they would say, and they pretty much outed him on commentary. They're it's been a month since we've seen Sin Cara, but he looks different. It looks like he maybe put on a few pounds or got taller or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
really?
So they're gonna do the famous Sin Cara versus Sin Cara feud, which is always works well because that Kane versus fake Kane feud, which with Festus as the fake Kane, went nowhere. And then they did the Undertaker versus fake Undertaker, which was one of the worst matches of all time.
Oh god, it was also fake Diesel.
One other point from Raw that I wanted to bring up was how completely obvious was Stephanie and Morinitis.
Oh god!
You know, like the whole
they're in cahoots.
Triple H was like, I don't know what's going on. And I think I tend to believe Triple H more
they're doing a slow build. I don't know if Stephanie's going to be with them or Laurinaitis, but I think it's going to be all the whole company is going to be against Punk kind of thing. Like the inner workings of the company is going to be all Triple H. And Triple H is going to deny it until the very last moment when he turns on Punk, at the last second. But I think that's where they're going, at least. I mean, they could turn it because it's going to be hard for Triple H to get booed. That's the problem.
Right. No. Yeah. That's true.
So I don't. Here is the question that we should leave people with.
Yes.
When John Laurinaitis invited Diesel to kind of have a talk, what did you think happened? Did you think Diesel give him a Big Daddy Cool, or did he give him a Oh, big sexy.
It was totally to thank him for dyeing his hair. Apparently, he did not want to do that.
He wouldn't do it for TNA. And he did it for WWE.
Oh, no. WWE made him do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure John was like, hey, big man, thanks for dyeing your hair. Now let's do something about that goatee. And why your mustache only covers half your upper lip?
Oh man,
I don't know what to say. You took it off.
Okay, I'll say he probably gave him a big daddy cool. You know what's funny? Like that night, the most obvious joke happened when Brian Azzarello, writer of 100 Bullets, tweeted they should just call him John Laryngitis. I'm like, why didn't anybody think of that before? That's the most obvious joke ever.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
That's pretty funny.
All right, gentlemen. Before we conclude, where can people find you internet? And where can people find you in the internet? See, I'm losing my mic skills are failing me. We'll start with you, Antonio.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Thwipstar, Thwipstar. I tweet about Raw every Monday and rage a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Really?
Yes.
It's awesome to watch and read.
Okay, yeah, Brian. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's always funny when Travis described me as I can tell how good a WWE show is going by Antonio's tweets. He's either really happy or boiling with rage.
Oh, man. And Brian, how about you? Where can people find you online?
You can find me at Xander Harris on Twitter. That's with an X. And you can also find my podcast, Graphically Speaking, which I talk about comics and cool stuff at Graphic Speaking on Twitter.
That's right. And Ryan, where can people find you online? Do you tweet?
Yeah, you can find me at Beta Ray Ryan.
Okay, I need to add you. I didn't know you were on there.
Oh, yeah, that's me. And that's my Xbox Live handle, too. So, guys, feel free to add me there. And that's about it.
Excellent. All right, gentlemen, that was it was fun talking to you guys. And everyone, of course, can find me at my usual spots at go to about.me/PatLoika, and it'll take you to all my social networking and all that good stuff. So until next week, you guys take it easy.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the views of Pat Loika. You can reach Pat by sending an email to loikamania@gmail.com. This has been a Dial R Studios production.